Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady stood in rarefied air.
I love you.
I've played Tom Brady and know what that feels like to watch a penalty not be a penalty.
It's still KC all day, baby. It's still Chiefs Kingdom to me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
You can't call that.
I have not changed my mind about Tom Brady.
I can't take it anymore.
There is no right answer when we talk about who's the GOAT. One man's chicken is another man's gumbo.
$275 worth of Alaskan king crab.
Once you have good people,
Son, it's great to have you.
The trick is to try to have continuity. Please God, one more season that Tommy and Bill Belichick.
Welcome to the Super Bowl! Welcome to the Super Bowl!
Our God is an awesome God.
Right now.
No bottle service for them.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Teddy Bruschi will join us in just a few minutes. We're going to talk some more football with him, obviously. The inside the NFL was terrific last night because you got the repeat of both of those games, and they went extensively into two games instead of having to go through a zillion of them. And you get the guys all mic'd up and whatever. And then they sit down and they start talking about stuff. And I love Ray Lewis on the show. Could never stand him before. On this show, he's pretty good. But did you have any idea what
my
the hell?
My top five is top five. Okay.
What the hell he was talking about last night? He's talking about old school, and that's why Belichick. And then he talks about some sweater. Sweater? What sweater are we talking about?
What gives with the Patriots?
Let me explain to you guys what gives, okay? Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular?
Wait a minute. Hold on. What sweater that's not popular?
Well, I can't wait to hear the answer.
It's a sweatshirt, isn't it?
No, I just can't wait to hear the answer.
Why
I don't know.
Do you think Belichick wears a sweatshirt that is not popular?
No, a sweater.
Popular?
No, he said
a
sweater.
Sweater.
He didn't even get it.
Is it hockey?
It's a hoodie sweater.
We're talking about football, though, right? Not
football.
A hockey sweater?
Yeah. That's not a sweater. That's a sweatshirt.
Okay. Why do you think Bill Belichick wears a sweater that's not popular? Old school. New school, everybody, this whole first part of the season, offense is this, throw this ball, throw that ball, throw this ball. Later in the season, it get more old school and more old school and more old school. And this is why the New England Patriots are beating anybody in their way. They are fundamentally better equipped than you pay attention to the mistakes. You say, but D4. Yep. You talk about the things that you talk about the highest scoring offense in football, and they give them less than 50 total yards in the first half. Why? Because not a big name, but a bunch of guys got together fundamentally and said, if you do your job and I do mine, brother, this is what the formula looks like.
Later season get. What the hell is later season get?
Well, you know what I mean.
Okay. But I don't buy the old school. I think he got it totally wrong.
I'm not really sure what he meant, but I'm going
to take
a stab at it.
He meant the Bill takes you back to 1965 football, and that is bull.
The old school.
No, he isn't old school.
No, it's...
he's cutting edge.
What they're doing they're looking at the last 2 weeks, how they ran the football and played defense.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just basic
victim
stuff, right?
Victim of.
But what he's not noticing is like how they... Is he forgetting about all the other years where they threw it like crazy and the running game was probably basically secondary?
I mean, do we all agree in the offseason the approach was more of running the football? Offensive line, the first two rounds, a tackle and a running back. Bill Belichick, tackle and a running back.
Yeah, because you had a quarterback that was 41 years of age, and you can't throw the ball 45 times every game.
We always sat here and said, I cannot believe that Dwayne Allen is coming back on this football team at that kind of price tag. That makes zero sense on what we know for the New England Patriots. He doesn't give you that kind of value.
He can block.
But you know what he did? He said, I drafted a tackle. I'm drafting a running back. I'm going to keep my tight end, and I might pay him a lot, but he's another tackle. And I'm going to just pound the football because you look at these, the league right now, everybody's going smaller defensively, faster defensively. I'm going to put a fullback. I'm going to be the one team that has a guy like James Devlin. I'm going to my two tight ends. One's a pass catcher, although we'll see how he feels throughout the year. The other guy is nothing but another tackle. And we're going to run the football. I brought in five running backs. We didn't replace Brandon Cooks. We didn't replace Danny Amendola. We didn't replace the pass catcher Deion Lewis out of the backfield either, because this is what we're going to do. You guys can worry about defending the pass all you want, and we will still pass. I have Tom Brady. But when it comes down to it, this is why we're going to win.
I think
old school.
I almost feel like there should be like they should have like a Ray Lewis game. Like, here, put the quote up. What is Ray Lewis trying to say?
They could do that.
You have like,
later season get. Like, later season get, you go old school.
And I heard Mutt this morning, like, afterwards. And I think we've all been victim of this. Like, I get it, Ray. Like, you had an idea, and you fumbled around it, and you couldn't quite catch up, and you made no freaking sense whatsoever. Like, you've been there, right? You had
a
thought in your head.
A pigeon? What is pigeoning?
And then by the time you're done, you're like, oh, man, he's great. And you try to end like with like an exclamation point or something.
They'll love
like
seeing
that.
All different types of butterflies.
But I think he took his chronological age at 66. He looked at this old sweater, which is not really a sweater. It's a hoodie sweatshirt that he cuts off the sleeves with. That's what it is. And you couldn't even hardly see it because he had a big jacket over him in the game this week. But he's not old school. He's not. He changes constantly every single week depending on what the other team is
doing. I think more
so
this year, he changed and adapted.
The other day
we talked about the running game, and one of the effects, obviously, was the time of possession. You got a very explosive offense? Awesome. That's great. We're going to, you know, time of possession is going to be 2-1 because we are going to run the football. We can run the football. So we talked about, you know, the game plan defending a great offense, keeping them off the field, but it was also a game plan defending defenses that are primarily, for the most, wouldn't you say like nickel or dime? That's like base defense these days?
These days, yeah. That's what it is.
So, based on all the
I got two tight ends and a fullback.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play. You guys all built your team to stop the pass. Let's do this.
Well, two tight ends and two running backs, they've been using that for years.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The fact is that they were able to morph into this this late in the season.
But
right?
Based on the personnel that they have.
The personnel and then also the opponent. Right, the game plan was to slow it down, be physical with these smaller, I want to get after the quarterback ends. Same with San Diego. Didn't have nearly as many sacks.
Yes.
Okay, but you know, Kansas City tied in the NFL with the most sacks, 52 sacks. So, I mean, I get it. He's looking at it for, you know, like victim of the moment again. I'm going to keep harping on that. But to me, they've always been when they're at their best, they're able to morph and do anything they want.
But that's not a point.
When most teams can only do one thing, they can say, oh, what, really? Okay, that's what you call about, you know, like they just do what they need to do.
Yeah, that's not old school. He's never been able to figure this out with the Patriots. Boomer is great on that show and is able to figure all of this stuff out.
Kennedy, it was.
But I heard Rob Ninkovich, I don't know if you heard him on with Dale and Keith last week. He was talking about being here with Belichick and that he might have been working in some factory or someplace had it not worked out, because his career was at a crossroads and Belichick figured out that he had a certain skill set that worked with a certain position, that if we put him in this situation, it works for us and it works for him. And he was explaining it and I was mesmerized by it, because he's basically saying he was right there on the edge. Is he in the league? Is he out of the league? And Belichick took him and made him a hell of a player because it was part of a scheme. This is what we're going to do. We're going to move you around.
One, because I feel like he's probably at the same point, too. Maybe he'd be out of the football if the Patriots didn't trade for him. Kyle Van Noy's going down that same road.
Bingo. Same way.
That exact same road.
And look at the
road.
Way he's playing, Lou.
I'm just saying, this guy's a guy, that Patriot, that could be here for the next 3 or 4 years, and who knows what we'll be talking about him.
Kyle Van Noy.
Back then, but you're 4 years from now, 3 years from now, because I guarantee he's going to be just like Ninkovich. He's going to sit there and say, you know, I was in Detroit for 2 or 3 years. You know, if I never got traded to New England, I might have gone on another team and, you know, been Cassius Marsh, you know, and just been like, okay, I'm out of the league because I don't have a role.
One more before we get to Teddy Bruschi, because this is where Ray Lewis can't help himself. And it's the hatred of the Patriots because of history. It's the hatred of Tom Brady.
Kansas City. The Saints are feeling bad enough. You take the Kansas City Chiefs. I've played Tom Brady and know what that feels like to watch a penalty not be a penalty. This man.
So
never
you're talking to roughing the passer?
Never.
Should be reviews. You want reviews?
Phil, is that important? He sacrifices his livelihood, his physicality to come back every year after year. You deserve the respect to give our teams the respect to say.
Right. So let me just frame this. So you're saying the roughing the passer penalty that was called against Kansas City on Tom Brady should not have been.
You can't call that. I said this in 2009, 2010 when
what
we
about
played
the pick?
Him up there. I said, don't give him a win. Mm. If you want to get a win, go play golf.
What? Okay, you ready for this? The reason for him, the reason that,
give him a win, no, go play golf.
I don't know what he's talking
okay.
about.
Okay, right,
so let me hear you. So you're saying
no, James Brown had to jump in. They were talking about the bad call in New Orleans. And out of nowhere, Ray jumps in because he was, what about what happened in Kansas City?
He sacrifices his life.
Who does? Who is he? Honestly,
the other
I'm
player.
Not,
the other
Chris
players.
Jones.
Yes.
Okay, who had
life.
The roughing the passer penalty called on him without really roughing the passer.
Yes.
Right? So he's sacrificing his life.
Yes.
His livelihood.
Yes.
Again, there is 1,000 bad calls in this game.
You can't call that.
But how do you compare it to the call that we saw in New Orleans, which was the difference in the outcome of the game, clearly. Come on. But he can't help himself.
In real time, this is not bang, bang. It's kind of bang, bang.
Oh, the difference.
We'll get to Buddy Gene's territory in a little bit. We got to get to him. He was classic last night. But Lou's upset because he's not doing the ethnic thing anymore.
He's not doing the stereotypical
cookie cutter. They're making him a cookie cutter guy.
Let me talk to Lombardi because you mentioned that. Now, we can get to it. I know we got Teddy here next, but he kind of brought the same thing up. He wrote an article that said the title was "The Tuck Rule Was Bad, the No Call on the Saints Rams Was Even Worse." I don't know how you relate the two.
One was ruled correctly.
You might not like the rule, but it was ruled correctly. One wasn't. I don't know how you can connect the two.
You can't.
Don't be the fat guy at the buffet line.
I won't, Mike, but that's stupid.
We wrote an article. We just touch on it.
We'll get to
Teddy, though.
We'll
get
to Teddy Bruschi, our man, coming up next.
And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It was intercepted by Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Ooh, how we get about that? 14
Teddy Bruschi.
All right, back here on OMF. Here we are back in Boston, and we're getting into our playbooks, breaking everything down. And what is the best football analyst anywhere, Teddy Bruschi, doing? He's riding Slinky Dog Dash down at Disney World. What the hell is a big football game here coming up here in a couple of weeks? What the hell are you doing?
There's a game down here in Orlando coming up. It's a Pro Bowl. I'm doing some work down here, Glenn. All right, fellas?
What is that? Some sort of research for the Super Bowl? You're going to use this as some sort of analogy, right, for next week?
That's right.
Okay.
It's not bad, though, right, Teddy? It's not bad. It's better than what it looks like. You think it's a kiddie roller coaster. It's a little bit better than that, right?
Yeah, it gets going pretty good. You know, I got my son down here with me, so we went to play a little Pro Bowl skills challenge, and it's a perk, I guess. We're a Disney company.
All right, stay on that phone, because that phone is breaking it up. Just don't move. Stay right with that phone. All right? Get next to Andy down there in the Toy Story. So you and I had talked about, and you had brought up the DNA of the New England Patriots this year on the road was so much different than on the road. And yet what we saw this past week was so different. And what we saw in the week leading up to it with Brady and the videos and Julian Edelman getting into it, bet against this T-shirts and everything. Do you believe that maybe they needed that to create energy? Because I thought right from the get-go, energy, physicality, all in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, they had a chance to right all the wrongs of this season and all of the, you know, the Miami miracles, the beatdowns in Tennessee, the mental errors in Pittsburgh, everything. They had a chance to just tell everyone and show everyone that's not who we are, and that's what they did. They've got the whole underdog thing going with them, and guys, they believe it. And it's a powerful thing. And it's a powerful thing that you actually need when you go on the road to win a championship game on the road in that environment. I mean, what they showed, you've got to understand the magnitude of what they accomplished. I know they got another one to go, and they got one more, and they want to win the Super Bowl, but what they did going into Kansas City, one of the top two or three toughest places to play in the NFL, and going in there and winning, it was huge. It was borderline impossible to achieve for a team that hadn't shown they could do it throughout the course of the year. But then to just, listen to all the doubters, express their feelings, and have that type of motivation to go in there and do it was so big for this team that, you know, the perception of them flipped with that game with Burkhead getting in the end zone. And it's, I mean, they got one more to finish. I understand that, but that was one of the biggest wins I've watched. I mean, as a father, because I've experienced all of this from so many different perspectives. I lived it as a player. I've been watching it from an analytical point of view. And then I was at home and I'm with my three sons, and just that pure Brewski raw passion was coming through all of them. And to see it from that perspective, while I'm sitting down and thinking about the next play after that, the way I watch games, but just to see my friends get excited like that was something that I'll never forget. And I think a lot of people that follow this team and are New England Patriots fans will always remember that win in Kansas City.
All right, so I would agree with you on that part. But, okay, so how about Andy Reid? Because he gets a lot of criticism, got a lot of criticism, you know, before this game for his game management, you know, issues in the past. Do you have any criticism based on how he managed the last, 8 minutes of the game?
Thinking back to it now, I mean, anything obvious that stands out to me, I mean, I can't think of it. I mean, I know they got shut out in the first half, and that was something that he had to adjust to, and he did coming out in the second half. I mean, that's a testament to him right there. Man, that game, what it came down to in that overtime was that overtime possession and the Patriots going down and winning the football game. And I don't want to blame Andy Reid for anything. I mean, the way that the Patriots won that football game, that's what was special about it.
You know, Teddy, one of the impressive things, you know, the fact I felt like that game looked like it was at Gillette. You know, the crowd did not bother them one bit. The offensive line was absolutely outstanding. And was that one of your biggest surprises, and how it looked like being on the road didn't affect them, that offensive line?
Yeah, that was one of the most impressive things that I'd talk about because the way that they still, you know, it's hard to get off the ball as run blocking. When either it's on silent count or you don't have the hard count to possibly use. And for them to still be able to have that type of production and keep Tom Brady clean the entire time, you've got to start realizing the group that is this offensive line. I mean, the Browns, the Toonies, the Adams, the Masons. I mean, this is a solid offensive line that's shown the second half of the year how they can dominate a game and dominate the line of scrimmage and turn this team and morph into that power running game that they are.
So they played during the regular season. They come back in this one, and last week you said Bill likes to take one thing away from you, and they clearly were going to take away Tyreek Hill with the double and the safety up top. But they also treated Travis Kelce different than they did the first time around with Chung on him and now with the corner on him. How much do you think that plays into it, in that other team might be thinking you're going to do a lot of the same stuff you did the first time around, and yet you're giving him a totally different look in this game?
Yeah, I mean, as in the past, being in times where you play an opponent twice in one year, it is always something different with the Belichick defensive scheme. I mean, let's credit Brian Flores for everything that he's done with that squad also, because he loves that when you think that you know what our plan's going to be, and then so we're playing a Peyton Manning, you know, and he knows from the earlier in the season what we did. You change it up towards in the playoff game, in the divisional, or in the championship game. It's just a signature of Bill to make you adjust, because I think it's important because of that script that Andy Reid has, that first 10 to 15 plays where even when he scripted for that game and he anticipated what it was going to be and what he was going to see with Tyreek Hill or with Travis Kelce, and then he's scheming formations and shifts and motions based on what he thinks he saw probably.
Hey, Teddy, so, I know everybody enjoyed you. I'm sorry, but everybody enjoyed you slapping around Max Kellerman last week, telling him he's not good at his job. We had a lot of fun with that one. But I think now you have to go over to PTI, because we were playing sound with Michael Wilbon, basically saying that the Patriots didn't earn this. This was gifted to them because of the the call against Tom Brady, or the call, I should say, the roughing the passer, which we all agree was a bad call. But he honestly believes that this was gifted to them, that they didn't earn it. Like, how do you respond to people that around there maybe who still believe they haven't earned that victory because of that one penalty?
You talking about the roughing the passer penalty on Chris Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many reactions you can have to it, fellas. But really, what I choose to do, even as an analyst, I'm just not going to waste my time with that nonsense because it's just pure nonsense for them to go off on like that and not talk about all the third and nines and third and tens that were converted, everything that happened in that game and for one call, and so it wasn't earned. It's foolish, it's stupid, and it's nonsense, and I don't want to – that's all I got.
And then you get the Chris Conley pick, and you could – but anyway, he's not watching the Super Bowl game anyway. He said that, so you don't have to worry about him. He's not watching.
Yeah.
All right, our line's not great, so what we're going to do is we're going to hopefully join you down in Atlanta next week. We'll let you get back to Woody and Buzz and all the characters down there. All right.
All right. Sorry about that, fellas.
Okay. No problem. See you, Teddy. Teddy Bruschi down there. We could have got a Pro Bowl.
He's really upset about that.
Yeah, he really seemed.
Yeah, bad. Yeah. Sorry. Later.
Could have got a Pro Bowl prediction out of him. We can wait till next week for the Super Bowl, right? Could have got a Pro Bowl prediction. Yeah, AFC or NFC.
Did Bradford
want to know our Pro Bowl prediction today? Yeah.
Does Vegas even allow you, like, is there bets on the Pro Bowl?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. What
like,
do you mean?
Like the NBA All-Star game. I feel like, do they take bets on that?
Of course, yes. Take bets on everything.
I don't know about that. If any time you could actually manipulate the score, this is it. It's like everybody's your brother-in-law.
Well,
I'll put $500,000.
Does that mean Mutt and Lou are going to do a podcast this week talking about the Pro Bowl?
That's probably. I hope so.
Probably. That's a good question, but I thought.
I mean, no, people need to know what the.
They always have lines like NHL All-Star game. Like the over-under is like 20. You know, 22. Like NBA, the over-under is like 300.
Okay, over-under, that's different. That's points, but win or lose?
Absolutely will.
Really?
Absolutely.
I feel like that would be fixed.
All right, back to the phone calls. Here we go. Here's James in Norwich. What's up, James?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I was in the hospital on Sunday with congestive heart failure.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, because of the game.
And I watched the game.
No, oh.
Cured him.
I was watching the game, and the game almost killed me.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But the reason why I'm calling is I called the week before, and Lou, you know, I love you and everything, but I wasn't able to articulate my reasoning why the Patriots were going to win very well, and you made sure you were clear on telling me that.
Big meme.
But I just want to tell you, I knew they were going to win.
Me too.
And because, but you made good points after the fact where you said, you know, Brady was hurt for a couple of weeks, and now he was nice and fresh, and you know, nobody was going to stop him. So I just want to let you guys know that good. I was right behind him, but I got to learn to articulate my point a little better.
Yeah, okay. That's not a problem. You were having some other issues you had to deal with. But here's the good news. The Patriots won, and you did as well. You're here.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
And on the good note, I mean, in Mahomes, I thought he was going to choke, to be honest with you, but he had a great game.
He was terrific.
But I thought it was going to be too big of a stage for him. But he proved me wrong on that also.
All right, James. Glad you're doing well. You know, you watched the game. I watched the game again, the NFC game. And Jared Goff had the exact same problems until they had the fake punt. It was almost like after they had the fake punt, somebody else did something, right, for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there going, oh, it's easy now. I can do that. You know, but until that time,
so he needed inspiration.
He was shaking in his boots.
Well, what about Todd Gurley?
I mean, you can say the same thing about the Saints the week before against Philly. You know, they're shaking their boots. They look like crap early on in that game. I think they went for it on fourth one time and they got it.
So I know we're not doing a lot of X's and O's yet, but I'm wondering if you don't try to give Jared Goff some different looks early on when you get into this game. Try to, you know, rattle him a little
one
bit.
One thing I think you definitely do, you know, just talking about that fake punt, is that I don't think you set a punt return for anything, do you? Like when they're punting that ball, you just say, thank you, let's get the ball. Julian, fair catch. You know, we're going to put, who did you put out there? Jonathan Jones and Crossan? Does he go out there too? Yeah, play these guys like you're playing a wide receiver.
Every single time that hecker's going to throw it
whatever. I'm just saying, take that away from them. You know that's always a possibility. Just no returns. Fair catch. Take the ball.
Did they play against them before?
Yes.
Because that's the whole, he's a weapon.
That's back when they sucked.
Yeah, that was back when Fisher was their coach.
So that's another great storyline over these 2 weeks. Todd Gurley, was he injured? He barely played in the second half. Now, what a lot of people are saying is that they changed what they did. C.J. Anderson is the guy, the bowling ball that they put up the middle, and they were exploiting him being able to run up the middle. They couldn't run off the edges. And so that was the reason he didn't play. Or he's too good a player. They didn't even incorporate him much in the passing game. Are you telling me?
Well, he was dropping the ball.
Yeah, girly he mass. Did drop so the ball.
Right out girly said, forget it. We're
he
not
dropped
gonna,
two. One highest, of them was an interception.
Highest paid back in the league, and they took him out in one of the most important
Which
games.
Which is unbelievable when you think about it.
And they're better off without him.
But he was
so that's why. But you know, Sean McVay is a genius.
But he was in the sidelines. Like they showed him a few times, like three or four shots in a row of stretching.
Keep it
you
loose.
Know, but just like something wasn't right.
Maybe he wanted you to think something was wrong based on the – so people wouldn't think it was his skill that was keeping out of the game. Maybe they want him to think it was
he's an
unknown.
Injury. You don't know what you're going to get.
C.J. Anderson is like another unbelievable story in the NFL this year. I mean, he was out, right? Mm-hmm. Had no job. And
he bounced around.
He's put on like about 40 pounds since the old days in Denver, isn't he? He's like – he looks totally different. And suddenly now
– Gurley's going to be the featured guy. Gurley's – And here's what Sean McVay, because he's a genius, so you have to assume that he's going to make the right decision, right? He will go back and he will focus on two games, Jacksonville and Detroit. Take that game plan, take that philosophy. Now, don't call Matt Patricia for any information because he's too loyal.
That's a mistake.
To Bill.
That's a mistake.
He will
if they
go
do that.
To Doug Marrone. No, it isn't. That is the way you do it. You have the defense. Wouldn't you say that they, as far as defensively?
No, I think you were right before when you called those two games outliers. They're outliers.
No, no, but the reason they're outliers is because the game plan was if they tried to spread them out and do it differently, like it wouldn't have worked. But their philosophy, and Matt Patricia knew this. That's why it was so successful and how important it was for him to get the Matt Stafford. And if you go back and just go back and watch it, watch how Matt Stafford allows the play clock to go down. He never snaps the ball unless it's inside the five seconds because he has to benefit from limiting their possessions, the Patriots' possessions.
So both teams are going to try to limit the other team's possessions. Because you know the Pats are what they are.
Under. Take the under.
I mean, no, but you look at it and say, C.J. Anderson, you know what the Patriots are going to do? You say they're going to try to run the ball. Well, that's the one thing to try to make them one-dimensional and take away the run.
Right. See, they have another wrinkle that I
play man force Goff to make those tight throws, and again, because shouldn't we be considering Goff just like any other rookie quarterback?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, just second year guy. I mean,
especially the way he played down the stretch
because he was terrible last year in that playoff game.
He's a rollout game plan specific guy. I don't think he's the type of guy that can sit there and take you down the field like Mahomes did.
No,
like,
I think they have to run the ball.
See,
he
needs the protection of his.
And I think you can exploit Goff.
My first thought was that the what happened in New Orleans hurt you because I think New Orleans, I think the Rams are a more dangerous team than New Orleans. You know, I saw what they did to Michael Thomas. They took him out. You got a guy like Gilmore that can take him out. I don't believe in Ginn. I don't believe in Traquan Smith. Their tight ends are hurt. Watson's done for the year. So it's like, you know, yeah, I know they got the two great running backs, but I think there's a lot more weapons. There's a guy like Lattimore is filthy, but who's he going to take out of the game as a corner? Who's he going to take out? Hogan? Right. So I was like, damn, you know, I think I would rather play the Saints. But the big equalizer is, of course, the quarterback. You know, a guy like Drew Brees, you know, third down, can he convert? Can Jared Goff convert as much as you? Who do you trust more, Goff or Brees? So that's probably the deciding factor. I think the Rams are a better football team, but their quarterback, you have absolutely no clue if he's going to turn into Nick Foles or Blake Bortles, the bad one.
All right, the flip side, I would say the big problem that the Rams have had so far this year backs catching the ball out of the backfield, which means another James White game in a big, huge Super Bowl. Look at Kamara's numbers and what Alvin Kamara did against them last week. He had a lot of success. And they shut down a lot, but they could not shut down him. Did you guys realize that they have two offensive coordinators, the LA Rams? One handles the pass game. One handles the running game. How the hell does that work?
They also have a get-back coach.
They have a get-back coach.
Which most colleges do have, also. But, everybody's got a get-back coach.
This kid's really in college.
First of all, like, Sean McVay, come on, dude. Are you kidding me right now?
He has to hold somebody back.
You're so focused on the game. And I've seen it. The guy, like, is so, like, active.
Mike
running
Tomlin
around.
Needs one of those guys. He needs a get-back coach.
I literally have spent most of my time while the offense is on the field standing right behind Sean and ripping him out of the way when the official's about to run into him just so we don't get a penalty.
Is that unbelievable? But they have two offensive coordinators. When Matt LaFleur left and he went to Tennessee and now he's a head coach. And, I don't know.
Wait, so run coordinators.
They have a run guy that deals
with. Let's go to this guy. We're going to pass. Go to that guy.
So what do you do?
What the hell is McVay doing?
I don't know.
He's a genius.
Who's calling the plays?
He's in charge of the other geniuses.
A lot of geniuses.
It is kind of like a dance.
To have other geniuses.
You need a genius to cover that genius's ass that covers that genius's ass. Back to your phone calls. We got a couple of open lines at 617-779-7937.
The Patriots are headed to Super Bowl 53 to face the Rams. Talk about it now. Now back to OMF on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI.
Now let's get to some of these phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. Here's Tim. He's in Boston. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Tim.
Hey, Christian.
Yo.
Listen, I enjoy you a lot. I liked you when you were a player, but I can't believe you're complaining about going to the Super Bowl. Get real, man. You know how much I would give to take my son to that game?
Yeah, you know, I get it. I get it, Tim. It's just the thing is like it's just to me it's listen, I get it, right? If you've never been, it's like how could someone who gets to go mock it and kill it and hate it?
Flying private.
I don't like Disneyland. I don't like Disney World. Okay? It's the same Disney World.
Bursky does.
Disney World and like the Super Bowl and like New Year's Eve. They're all the same. Lots of expectation. Lots of, like, you know, anxiety.
Speak for yourself.
And it's always a whimper, and it's always an issue.
Didn't get lucky on New Year's Eve.
Hold on. Do you like traffic?
Do I like traffic? No, I drive.
Okay, do you like overpriced meals?
No, I don't.
Do you like long lines in restaurants?
No, I don't.
Do you like drunk people throwing up on you?
Obvious questions.
No, okay. Well, that's what it's like.
Oh, traffic.
Can I say something? You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the guy with his yard is complaining his yard. That's what it does.
Guy's right. You got to give it to the guy. The guy's
I get
right.
it. I
guy's
probably right. sound like a total jerk.
You
but
do.
Like, I just, it's just a.
You opened the show at 2 o'clock saying, I hate the Super Bowl.
And one big giant, I know more people than you know, fest. Like, I'm important. Is that? That's what it is. Everybody
shows
show up in the same location.
Right.
Right,
and the parties are
more important. Know somebody better than you do. They have better credibility and a longer history and more success and more money. And it's just over and over and over and over again.
Except you're a guy who walks in there, and most of these people know who you are around the National Football League. Hey, Vrabel!
I know.
That's the way it is. Though.
It's just listen.
We've been spoiled.
Can I switch with Tim? Can Tim go in my place?
What's that?
Can Tim go in my place? I think we should award Tim. Tim hosts the radio show with you guys down there next week, and I stay and hang out. I think it's a good idea.
No, we like having
you like
you
that
on the
idea.
Program.
I see Lou like that idea.
We like we'd like having you on the program. We'd like you to hang out.
I wrote
the
about that on WEEI.com.
Different.
Wow, what a throwback.
Here's Nick next up. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Christian Lou.
Hey, what's up?
Probably the two best sports radio personalities in the history of broadcasting.
Thank you. Nick?
What happened? What did we do?
So I know you guys can't talk about football and break down the Rams defense and how the Patriots are going to win for 2 weeks, so you got to fill time otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think we should go back to the taking calls about why Glenn is annoying.
Oh, I love that segment.
That was one show. We've done that weekly.
No.
We could do that every day.
Yes.
We could do it every day for 2 weeks.
Well, right now the phone lights are lighting up on why Christian's annoying because he's going to the Super Bowl and he doesn't want to go to the Super
one
Bowl.
Call. No, just because Nick doesn't like you.
No, Nick, okay. I agree.
That's good, Nick. Yeah. Go ahead.
You got to fill time, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually pretty upset about the whole Baseball Writers of America, whatever the hell that stupid.
Do you think that was all manufactured, Nick?
What's that?
What do you mean? What's that?
You're mad that we talked about the Hall of Fame voting, correct?
Oh no! I the last thing I want to talk about 2 weeks before the Super Bowl is Mariano Rivera.
Well, he just got inducted in the Hall of Fame.
It's less about him; it's more about
he waited an hour, over an hour, to tell me that I was annoying. I could have told myself that and saved him an hour
Aren't
of free
you impressed
time.
Impressed with the patience?
Yes,
that Who's
people.
Patience?
I think that
people
yes.
like
Nick. I think his name was.
Yeah, he sits there and he holds on and he's not giving up.
He held on so long.
Just
to rip you, which I think is glorious.
Terrific. I love him.
I love it.
I feel like Bill and Tom.
I feel special.
I love you.
I feel special. If the guy only hangs on for like 3-4 minutes and then he gets on there and he blasts me, come on. Where's the commitment?
No stamina whatsoever.
But if you go on over an hour
and
you're on hold and you're sitting there, you finally just tell me I'm annoying.
You get to listen to the show while you're on hold.
That's perfect.
I know I call these shows.
It's perfect. By the way, the big fella's going to be on Rob Parker's radio program this evening, and we will play it for you, portions of it, tomorrow. He has promised.
Don't back down.
He has promised to defend the Patriot name
and
against Rob Parker tonight. This should be very good. And by the way, you're going to give him the free ticket, right? We got a one-way ticket.
I'm going to speak to
airline ticket. To Mexico City. We've purchased it.
Hola, Rob.
But I can
should be good.
Hola, Roberto.
¿Cómo está?
We'll have it for you tomorrow. You do not want to miss this. Here's Bob in East Longmeadow.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Bob.
Hey, I was wondering if you think there's any correlation between the Patriots this season and something LeBron James used to say. Maybe said it a year or two ago when the Celtics were ahead of them in the conference that, guys, it's regular season. You know, come talk to me when it's playoff time. I'm not saying they didn't try, but maybe they just have that second gear. They just want to get through the season, get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're kind of saying they didn't try.
Cleveland!
No.
Well, I mean, you just say let's get through the regular season and just to get to the playoffs. That's kind of saying we're not going to maybe, you know, use a play that might work or...
Well, I'm just saying it looks like two separate teams.
Well, that I would agree with, but I don't think that that's because... They didn't try in the regular season. I said before, this team came together later than most. I don't know. We usually know by Thanksgiving, definitely in December. This team, I don't think you knew, you know, until I saw it at home against San Diego. I mean, some people didn't know until what they saw last Sunday in Kansas City.
That's
the two best games they might have played all year, even though we said Kansas City game wasn't perfect. A couple of turnovers.
Right. Right.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. There's a big difference between LeBron James, who can dictate a game far more than even Tom Brady can.
You only get 16 of them.
Right, exactly.
And you don't even need anybody's help, technically. Right. Look what James Harden is doing. It's insane what he's doing right now.
Yeah, and it's a best of seven series. Yeah, but the stuff that Harden's doing, I hate to tell you, is a little bit tricky when you think about it. He had two games last week. He scored 58 in one game, 57 in the next game. Do you know there wasn't a single assisted basket in those two games?
Well, because he's a ball hawk.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody's help. I've never seen that before.
He just takes the ball and say, nice shot, buddy. I'm over here. All right. Go play defense. You just let him go. Just get out of his way.
I find that hard to believe that that's ever happened before, that a guy has scored that many points in two consecutive games, 58 and 57, and not a single basket he scored was assisted. That's amazing to me. Here's Anthony in Providence. Hi, Anthony. Anthony!
Hello!
Anthony!
Yeah, he's good. Don't worry about him. We'll move on.
All right, go.
So you can find somebody else.
Anthony.
Here's John and Weymouth. Hi, John.
Hey, John and Weymouth.
Hey.
What's up?
I'm begging you, take that maggot to the mat. I can't stand Rob Parker. Please, just lay him out, that piece of human fecal matter.
Oh, come on.
Here's the thing, John. I can't go full Homer on him.
What do you mean? Can't go full Homer?
I can't go full Wiggy.
He'll turn you into it.
I can't do full Wiggy. I can't do it.
I'm not asking you to go Wiggy on him, but the stuff he's saying has been foolish.
No, we'll go there. But listen, don't expect to be defend the wall.
Here's the thing. You say that now, but the stuff that comes out of his mouth is going to force you to sound
like
Wiggy.
So?
Yes.
Accent at all, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
It will. And by the way, let's up the ante here.
How do you deal with him?
What's that?
What?
He gets to me like worse than Shannon. He gets to me worse than Wilbon. He's just such a piece of...
But, John, here's the thing, John. John, here's the thing. Like, he wins. He's trying to do that to you. He's trying to get you going.
Yeah, but you know what he is, though? You know what he is? He's a Max Kellerman wannabe.
Yeah.
With a smaller platform?
Yeah, he makes stuff
up. He feels like he's saying the same things.
All right, John. John, listen tomorrow. Listen tomorrow, John. We'll have it all tomorrow.
Rob's been saying the same things. Just that Max's been getting more publicity.
But here's the thing.
And he's not happy about
it. Rob's been saying this. What year is it?
Well, that's what I mean, but nobody.
He's been saying this.
Nobody hears it.
No, 2012.
In 12. Yeah,
nobody hears it.
We documented that.
I was working with them when we were sitting in these meetings, and I was like,
exactly.
You're really going to go the whole. You're going to take that route?
Exactly, and nobody hears
that
it.
That Lance Armstrong bit, that's old. It's like 8 years old.
That's why expose him with facts.
That's why he was so excited. The Patriots, on their own website, retweeted like a shot at him.
Yeah.
Because they did it.
It moved.
Well, I'm just saying, because guys like Van Noy mentioned Max Kellerman's name. So he was kind of jealous. You know, I mean, I've been saying the same thing Max says. Why don't the players recognize what I'm saying? Well, because nobody knows your program.
I think he's on to something.
So when the Patriots said that, he jumped on it right away and said, oh, I'm in their head.
Yeah,
easy. Max Kellerman wannabe, which isn't a good thing to be.
No. Well, I wouldn't even go. I would, no.
No, see, but it pisses Parker
Cliff
off.
Cliff Kellerman is the biggest dope going.
Well, I think he might.
And when it comes to the King Dingling status.
I would accuse him of that. That might rattle him a little bit tonight.
But he's been doing this. Cliff Kellerman?
Yes, I would. Cliff Kellerman wannabe.
Except he started it earlier. He's the original OG.
I still believe that when it's all said and done and that disgruntled person who wasn't taken care of comes out and writes that book and lays it all out on the table, that Tom Brady will be looked at the same light as maybe Lance Armstrong. He'll be Lance Armstrong without the bicycle.
Oh, God. Well, see, I'd like to hear that follow-up because let's just say they come out and say, you know what? Yeah, they did. They deflated some balls. And Tom wanted them a little bit lower. Okay.
Yeah. And let's just say that's it. Guilty. Here are my fingerprints. That's all he did.
So there's no steroids. So what's happened since that game?
He's won.
Won what?
Since what? Since the deflated
balls? Since the deflated Indy game, he's been out. He won that Super Bowl. He won another one. He's going to another one.
So
like in the Super Bowl.
So they would have evidence if he fell off the cliff right after Deflategate, right? They would have evidence. They'd be able to say, see, I told you so.
He has basically taken that Deflategate. I mean, I almost feel like now he could come out and say, yeah, you know what? We messed with the balls that year. But they wouldn't let him mess with the Seattle game, so what do? We beat them fair and square. We came back down 14 in the fourth quarter. Then, oh, yeah, by the way, with real balls because they were keeping their eyes on me, right. I came back and won a game 28-3, and we won that Super Bowl. And then, by the way, because it's me, they tested the balls again, and I threw for 500 yards in Philly. And, oh, by the way, because it's me in this Super Bowl against the Rams, I won another one.
See, you don't have to go homer with him. All you have to do is throw facts in his face.
Thank you. I don't need your help. First of all, the last person I'm ever going to ask for advice from is you.
I'll give you some help. Okay, we're going to up the ante. Instead of just giving him a one-way trip to Mexico City,
where's he going?
Okay, I think we should all chip in and pay first or second month's rent. I'm not paying security deposit the last month. We'll give some rent so we can stay there for a while.
It all depends on what I'm
moving to Mexico.
It all depends on what part of Mexico are you going to stay in Tijuana? Okay, well, Jesus. I mean, Jesus. I don't hate you that much.
A little cheaper.
Okay, are we talking
Save
Cabo?
Save us some money.
We're talking Cancun.
Oh no, I'm not saying I'm to Cabo. I've been to Cabo. That's expensive.
Okay, ship me to Mexico then. Can I go?
Hey, you don't want to go to the Super Bowl, so why don't you go to Cabo?
You know what? I'm going to start saying stupid stuff.
We're all good.
So someone will ship me to Mexico.
We got another hour to go.
It's hard to embrace a prickly pine of deceit and deception.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.